Welcome to Hammer Down, number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the PMI offices. I am your host, Tone Diggs. How's everyone doing today? I am joined by the Nuke Man himself, Bubba Gumpino.
Good day, Tony.
Good day to you, sir. Former NFL GM, assistant to the coaching staff in New England, and every other position you could possibly have in an NFL organization, and a little bit of college, I believe. The host of the Lombardi Line, the Daily Coach, the GM Shuffle Pod, and writes for The Athletic, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
Hello, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you, sir? How are you?
Good. I feel the first fall, first winter starting to come. It's cold, rainy. It's football season. It could feel like it.
It is. It does feel like football season. I had to change hats to more of a sturdy, heavy-duty hat this today because the you said it yesterday. The winds of November are going to be affecting quite a few amount of games this weekend, Mr. Lombardi.
No doubt. I think, you know, you got, you know, Cleveland, Buffalo, Chicago, Baltimore, all these cities along, you know, the weather is going to be a factor. And you got to understand how that's going to affect your game, how it handles the unders. And you can see the unders are starting to drop a little bit.
I decided to look at them this morning. I'm not sure where they're at currently. So Titans, Bengals went from 55 to 52. Pat's Bills is 45 down to 40.5 or 41, depending on where you're looking. Raiders Browns was 55 to 50. Packers and Vikings was 55.5 down to 50. And Saints Bears was 47 to 43. And as we're talking about the weather, I can introduce the hottest man in sports gambling, one Patrick McAfee.
Hello, hello, hello. How's it going, team? Here we are, ready to make some more money. Let's go and do this thing, boys. Huh? The only loser last night was Gumpy. That feels good. He'll turn that thing back around.
Somebody else might have lost, too.
Who?
Hand up, I also lost.
What? I thought you said the under.
No, I backed off the under because I was getting reports that the weather wasn't going to act like it was supposed to last night. And I took Teddy, too, close.
I didn't know that. Was that after I left?
It must have been.
Oh.
I forgot you left.
Oh,
I told you the weather, she wasn't going to the game. You should have probably figured it was going to be bad weather.
Yeah, but I was.
Yeah, fucking Jim Cantor Lombardi was trying to give you a heads up there on the entire weather thing. The family, I mean, they love their son.
Well, I was watching a kickoff and it was a beautiful night.
It was nice and to start.
Then halftime rolled around and boy, did she rear her ugly head.
So I was the only one that won last night?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a surprise. It's absolutely not a surprise. Did you take anything from last night, Michael?
You know, look, like we said yesterday, Atlanta's lost four games by a combined, what, 12 points. I mean, they closed that game out. They were, you know, Arthur Blank was on the field way too early for me. It was a nervous thing there when he came down that early because he's the kiss of death.
He is the kiss of death.
Look, Atlanta's offense is good. I thought they rushed better. Mm-hmm. Carolina's offensive line needs much improvement, and we talked about it. Their secondary can't play man-to-man, and Atlanta had their way with them, whatever they needed to do.
What about the fourth down play calls, Mike? Can we not get a fucking play action?
You know, I think when you get into run formations, you got to throw it. When you get into throwing formations, you might be able to run it. Yeah, those calls you want to have back. They, especially considering that they weren't knocking anybody off the line of scrimmage, even on the regular downs. I mean, Atlanta's defensive line played their best game of the year, without a doubt.
I mean, I know Atlanta won the game, but can you believe they're, what were they, 1-5, 1-6, sorry, 1-6, and they just marched down the field the very first drive, just absolutely dominating. They get to a 4th-and-1 situation, call a timeout, and instead of going for it, they then decide to kick the field goal there.
Once they called the timeout, they had to go for it. Why would you call the timeout if you're kicking the field goal? Take the penalty. 5 yards isn't going to matter at that point. Hey, take the penalty.
By the way, that's like Raheem being new head coach, mm-hmm, situational football right there. That is
on the defensive side.
On defensive side,
but here's where I think the problem starts. If you're Raheem Morris and the ball, it's third down. You tell Dirk Cotter, "Hey Dirk, you got two plays. You got two plays. I'm going for it. So you got two plays. You got to tell him that on third down. If you wait till fourth down, then all of a sudden it looks like a cluster, and that's what happens. You got to have your mind made up.
So, like, the messaging there from Raheem to Dirk is, you got two plays unless we lose something here, basically, right?
Yeah, unless we lose something. Hey, unless something, let's say, look, you got two plays. So call this play. Unless we lose something, I'm gonna go for it. That's it.
Man,
call the game.
That's awesome because, you know, I feel like some coaches just kind of chill the entire time. It's nice to know that, like, great coaching at all times to be like, hey, okay, here, you got this going. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of communication that I don't think happens on a regular basis in a lot of places.
I don't think it happens enough because there's not enough head coaches. We got too many play callers, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you got too many guys looking at the sheet. They're not watching the game. And I think that really affects the calls and affects the game management. Like, if you know you're going for it, and then, you know, if the head coach is giving you mixed signals, then you don't know what should I call it. If I know I have a fourth down call, maybe I do something different on third down.
Mike, would that prevent you then as a GM potentially from hiring a player caller as your head coach? Would you rather look at someone maybe on the defensive side of the ball or a special teams coach?
Defensively, I would look because I need somebody with toughness. I worry about some of these offensive coaches that have no toughness. I think you got to be a tough-minded team. You know, like Don Martindale to me should be a head coach in the NFL. I mean, he has all the earmarks of being a really good head coach. He worked for Al Davis. He understands game management. He can coach defense. He's going to be able to understand what offense gives him trouble. And he gives the team a sense of toughness. You got to have toughness. You know, you could say, well, Dan Quinn didn't work out. Well, Dan Quinn was about camaraderie, you know, about everybody's great. We're all going to work together. The Pete Carroll methodology, which only works for Pete. It doesn't work for anybody else. Whereas you need a tough guy. I think you need somebody who's going to drill the team and have them tough and, you know, play when it gets dirty and you can win a game. I mean, I think that's what Zimmer gives Minnesota. Is it perfect in Minnesota? No. But, I mean, I think he gives them that element.
Michael, you didn't tell us. I don't know what your relationship is with Hugh Jackson, but we talked to Hugh today on the Pat McAfee Show every day from noon to 3 on YouTube and SiriusXM Channel 82.
Don't listen or watch. To be honest. Not worth it.
He was telling us that when he got hired, Al was like, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm calling the defense.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, you don't need to be a detective to figure Al Davis's methodology was simple. He wanted somebody to run the offense. When Gruden was there, Gruden was never a head coach. That's why Gruden's not really a head coach even now. He never trained to be a head coach. He's always been a subcontractor. He runs the offense. He hires somebody to run the defense, and he can give a shit about special teams. So, you know, those are the three things. He's a play caller. Al was always going to run the defense. Al loved defensive football. Al loved short yardage football, defensive goal line football, and defense.
I wish Jim Irsay ran some. Like, I wish I would have been able to be in a building where the owner's like, hey, brother, this is –
I mean, I watch, you know, you asked me yesterday about watching tape. I mean, I watch tape every day. I mean, you know, it's like he would watch a tape. He'd call me on the phone and say, hey, did you see that, that number 73? Did you see him? It was Jeopardy. I'd have to say, you know, it was, you know, Jonah Williams from Cincinnati, 71. Jonah Williams from Cincinnati. Oh, where'd he go to school? Oh, he went to Alabama, sir. How big is he? 6'0", 6'1". And then we go through the whole thing. And I had to do it off the top of your head.
That's awesome.
And then, and here's the best part. And then if I said, I need to look that up, he would say, oh, fuck, I could look it up. And hang up the phone.
Jeez. I love talking old war stories with
how
you.
How do you make his billion? How do you make his money to become an
artist? He really didn't. His father was a successful shoe salesman in Brooklyn. He owned a shoe company. His brother Jerry used to be on the trips. He made his money from basically he convinced these five guys in Oakland to invest in the AFL, and they gave him the managing general partner share. So he made himself an owner. And then as the league exploded, he basically was in the right place at the right time.
Good for him.
He never really owned. He still doesn't own over 50% of the team. He never has. He got three guys from like Tech up in the Boston area, the graduates of Harvard, to invest in the team.
Oh, the Winkle.
And basically, they just get good Super Bowl tickets. That's about all they get for investing in the team.
All right, Michael, before we get to the games this weekend, I thought it was interesting. It came out a report that the Texans are willing to trade everyone except for Deshaun Watson, TJ Watt, and then the two tackles. If you were a GM, would you be looking to offload parts strictly because Bill O'Brien got rid of so many of your draft picks and things like that? And do you think that potentially Will Fuller may, because I think he's obviously the biggest name there, do you think he potentially moves somewhere?
I mean, I think somebody that needs a receiver, but the problem with Will Fuller is you're going to take him and say you get him next week, he misses because of COVID. now you're, you know, he might miss 3 weeks with a hamstring pull. And it's a really talented player, but he's always hurt. He's not on the field all the time. It's scary, you know. And Brandon Cooks has the concussions. I mean, I don't know who they have that I would really want, you know, that's so good. I think, you know, the two tackles, obviously they keep JJ. I mean, who on defense? The problem is they don't have anybody on defense. Their defense has been poor, and they're poorly constructed. So, you know, I mean, Will Fuller has some value. Kiki Coty, I mean, he's a slot receiver that never plays.
He's been hurt too, yeah.
I don't really know what I get if I trade. And then do I get him? I mean, I love Will Fuller. I think Will Fuller's great. But he don't play enough, you know. And I'd be scared to death to give up an asset for him when he's going to be a free agent next year. And then he's going to miss 3 games for me when I need him.
Okay, so with that being said, let's move to the New England Patriots, a team that you know a lot about. There's been a lot of smoke, you know, and words coming out from people who aren't directly associated with the New England Patriots saying it's a fire sale. Everything must go. And then Bill Belichick, obviously, in his interview yesterday, said that he's not going to I'm not going to participate in talk radio. I appreciate the opportunity, but I'm not going to get into that. With the Patriots, this is a situation that isn't normal for the New England Patriots, at least for the last 20 years. It feels like they are potentially in the selling market to try, hopefully be able to rebuild here in a different little bit of a fashion.
Well, they got a ton of cap room next year. So if they sell anything off, it's not for cap room next year. They're going to have one of the top. They're going to have really enormous amounts of cap room. I think they would be willing to trade a player for a player. I could see them trading, you know, a corner. They have a lot. They're good at corner. I could see them trading Gilmore for a really good skill player. I could see them doing that. I could see them doing that because that'll help them this year and next year. I just don't see them liquidating for next year. I don't think that's his. I don't think that's he's gonna weigh the advantages.
Nice. So
you know, Joe Tooney, you know, his contract's up next year. He knows he'll get a compensatory pick once he goes. Does somebody offer him a player in exchange for Tooney? Then I think he would do something. I think it's got to be, what value do I get back?
That's so interesting that he's thinking strictly out of, okay, I'm going to lose this guy probably at the end of this year. I can get a player right now that I can have for 2 years, probably a little bit cheaper, and we have a lot of cap room. Because the immediate thought would be, oh, he thinks that player is equal to that player. And the actual thought should be, no, they don't think that they're the same. Bill doesn't think they're the same type of player, but he'll be able to use them in a fashion and also going forward at a cheaper rate.
That's right. That's right. There's more to it. It's what we call second order thinking. It isn't just as black and white as the media makes it out. There's a lot more layers to it. Once he gets them, then I can do this or I can do that or we can go do something else. It's a piece of the pie that you have to kind of juggle. And that's why I think Houston's in a tough spot, because there's nobody putting the pie together. When you're just holding, when you're just liquidating, what are you getting back? You know, what am I trying to get back? You know, I gotta have a, what's my plan? You know, there's an old saying, never confuse hope for a plan. You know, if you're hoping to get draft picks, that's not a plan.
So hypothetically, before he got injured, if Bill did like Odell, like it could have been a player for a player, like Gilmore for Odell type of situation.
Something like that. Their salaries match. It would be an NBA kind of trade. You know, Gilmore for a guy that matches his salary at a skill position that he needs. You know, Evan Ingram or something like that. You know, where the Giants could use another corner and maybe they don't need the tight end. I'm not making stuff up. I don't know.
Yeah. So,
you know, but I think that's kind of makes more sense to me than just, you know, Gilmore for Will Fuller. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You know, that could make sense. You know, he would probably be scared of Gilmore getting hurt, but of Fuller getting hurt. But then, you know, he knows he's going to probably get a cheaper player, you know, all that. So that makes sense.
Okay.
You were active, weren't you? Were you an active guy? Or I just know that because Trent Richardson came to the Colts from you.
I think to me, you have to be really active. I think, you know, you have to use every vehicle to improve your football team. You've got to use free agency, the draft, the on-the-street free agents, the Canadian League. You can't, you know, my first job at UNLV in 1981, the guy told me, he said, recruiting's like shaving. If you don't do it every day, you'll look like a bum. And you got to do it every day. You got to try to find players every single day. And, you know, like Ron Wolf had a deal with Mike Holmgren. He said, Mike, tell me who your player 49, 50, 51 are. And then once I think I can find a better player of those three, then I'm going to change the roster out. That's how you have to think. It's the only way you get better. You can't get better from the top down. You got to get better from the bottom up.
How about like the Green Bay Packers? Okay.
Yeah.
The conversation with Will Fuller that we just chatted about with the Texans. But then in the draft, obviously, they used the first round pick to potentially prepare for 4 years down the road after making the NFC Championship. And then second round draft pick could be useful this weekend, by the way, with Aaron Jones out against the Vikings or whatever, you know. But it feels like, and I might be just an amateur at this thing, and I'm watching the Packers a lot more this year because, you know, Aaron comes on the show every single week or whatever. It feels like if they were to get another piece, like on the offensive side of the ball, that would help out a lot. Because if you watch that Tampa Bay game, the only person he was looking for was Devontae in his bad situation. So if you were able to get another piece, it feels like that would be a smart move. As a GM, and obviously you were a mover as a general manager, that was kind of your move. How can these GMs just sit and rest and be like, we're good, we'll see how this figures out, whenever there's so much opportunity? It'd be hard for me with my ADD brain not to be like, okay, is Julio Jones available? Because if he is, he makes us win right now. I want to get him in here. It'd be really hard for me to just sit back and be like, a couple years we'll be able to build this thing. But you have to be able to, I guess, do both. I don't know.
I think you have to know when your team's in position to win, because you're never really there all the time. Right, the Packers are in position to win it all. They are, you know. And if they have a chance to add to their team, and you know, the year we won in 14, I think at the trading deadline we made three deals. All of them, you know, I think we got Castillo, the linebacker. We got an outside rush. I mean, we made like deals that nobody. We signed Alan Branch. We, you know, deals that nobody really knew. And then the next thing you know, we really improved the team. And those guys came in and played and you have to. And I think the Packers are sleeping at the switch. I think they got to get up. They should have been on Antonio Brown. Now, they wouldn't have got Antonio Brown because he was going to go to Tampa to be with Tommy, even though Tom didn't want him. You know, they were going to go there. But I think you got to be really proactive with it. I think you have to really get, you know, aggressive and give Aaron. I mean, Aaron's doing everything in his power to help you win. You got to give him some help.
Do either of you two have anything else before we get into some of the games we didn't talk about yesterday?
Go ahead, Tony.
All right, let's do it. Let's start with potentially the game of the weekend. Steelers at Ravens. Ravens are currently -3.5. Let's see where the money's at here. Michael, you got any thoughts on this one?
You know, I just think, to me, the wrong team's favorite. I think Pittsburgh over the year has played better on both sides of the football. I worry about Baltimore running the football. I worry about Baltimore being explosive to take advantage in their passing game. I mean, Pittsburgh knows how to play this team. They really do. They know how to play ball. They did it last year. They took them to overtime in Pittsburgh.
Last year, they decided at one point where their DNs, Bud Dupree and TJ Watt, were not going to pay attention to Mark Ingram at all. They were going to let him hand it off, and they were going to hit Lamar Jackson every single time. I'm excited to see if they do that again.
Well, Mark Ingram's out tomorrow or on Sunday.
Well, either, whoever the running back.
Who was it? They just
It was Ingram last year. It was our man. I got Gus Bradley on the brain, but it was the other kid from Rutgers. You know that, and now they got Dobbins in there. So look, this game's going to come down to, can Lamar Jackson make throws in the game? That's what's going to come down to. He's got to be able to make throws. He's got to be able to get to these receivers. Andrews has got to play big. Hollywood Brown's got to play big. And then I think defensively, they'll play well. I think this is an under game, too. I really do. What's the number on the under?
The number on the under.
49. 40, it went down to 46.5.
46.5. The weather is currently, the wind is 11 miles an hour. And the precipitation is 50% at kickoff and then 80% by the end of the game.
Oh.
The wind under teaser is in play this weekend.
It does feel like that, doesn't it? The Cleveland, the Buffalo, the Baltimore, the Green Bay.
Gumpy and I were talking this morning. All those games, the Titans, Bengals, Patriots, Bills, Raiders, Browns, Vikings, Packers, Saints, Bears, potentially this one, where the numbers drop so much, you could just tease all of those back up to where they potentially were or higher and have a nice little teaser there.
Yeah.
And that would be quite an under Super Bowl for you. I mean, that would be an under Super Bowl for Tony Unders.
I'm having a pretty good time just thinking about it.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, your eyes perked up whenever you were, because I saw you think of that idea while you were saying it there, and you just got real excited.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice little tasty treat that I've been thinking about here. But no, in a game, and correct me if either of you guys disagree, but both the defenses are so good here. Ravens are number one in points per game. We know what the Steelers' defense is, too. Like, so it's going to be the offense that makes the plays, correct? Am I wrong there?
Correct. No, I think so. And I think if you're going to get, if you're going to give me four in Pittsburgh, I'm going to have to take.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Mike. Everybody's talking about Harbaugh off a bye, but what they aren't talking about is that the Ravens are 5-12 against the spread. Their last 15 at home as a favorite.
Face not recognized.
What do you mean?
Didn't recognize my goddamn face. I was trying to give you a bomb there because I was ready to go hammer on FanDuel. It didn't recognize my face. I apologize. That is good numbers right there.
There's a lot of things pointing to the Steelers here, too. The underdog in the last 28 meetings, 18-17-3 against the spread. The road team in the last 7-5-2 against the spread. The Steelers 8-3 against the spread. Their last 11 against the AFC North.
Wow, that one's a good one. Pa-boom.
Steelers as a dog 27-2 their last 29 games.
I can tell you why the dog and the road team is so good in the series. We had a graphic up here. It's because it's always the dog is obviously, and the road team is obviously always getting points. And in this series, when you get points, it's they're always such close games that it favors to take the dog in this series.
Yeah,
I agree.
As long as it stays over three, as long as you're getting that hook correct, at three correct. And a half, I think the Steelers.
If what is it? Four, I have four on my board. If it's
even
four,
better, Mike.
I just hit four and a half right now on FanDuel.
Four and a half.
I just bet four and a half on FanDuel right now.
There you go. I'll take four and a half. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and you are welcome. Let's move.
Grazie.
Let's move to the Windy City, where the Saints are traveling to at the Bears. +5.5 is where it was this morning. I don't know if it has moved. Let me see. No, I'm still seeing it at +5.5. The weather for that game, let me see here. Where is the Bears? There it is. 22-mile-an-hour winds, mostly cloudy, no rain, but it will be windy. What are your thoughts on this game, Michael?
You know, look, I think the Bears' defense is different at home. I think it'll be hard for Brees to throw. Now, look, Kamara's great. Michael Thomas comes back. I don't know about Emmanuel Sanders. But, look, it's hard to play. It's hard to really effectively move the football in the wind in Soldier Field. I think it's a close game. I lean towards taking the points. I had it as a 4.37 game. You're going to give me 5.5. I'll go there with it. I think it's a close game. Look, I don't love Nick Foles, nor do I love the Bears' offense, but when they play home and off of a bad beat, they always seem to play a little bit better. I'm going to go with that one. I think Chicago's a play for me here. I like them, and I think that they'll cause some problems defensively. Look, the one thing that we know bothers New Orleans, go back to the Minnesota game when Everson Griffin and Daniel Hunter gave them all sorts of trouble. Hicks and Mack were going to give them a lot of trouble inside, and when you get pressure on Brees inside, with wind and the elements, I think it's in your favor.
Yeah, the Saints won in Chicago last year, but it was with Teddy. Brees wasn't playing.
And that was an ugly game, too.
Yep.
Pat, you have any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out whether or not I like Nick Foles bouncing back after a terrible performance whenever he was starting inside his own, like, 5-yard line every single time he got the ball. I think we were unfairly judging the Bears' offense off of last week. Now, granted, all of your gripes about the Bears' offense throughout the season where they'll run a triple reverse on 3rd and 1 instead of just smacking somebody in the mouth, I agree completely on that. So I'm trying to figure out and trying not to do the what have you done for me lately rule that we tried not to talk about. I like the Bears a lot in here, but I remember just seeing a post by Thomas Morstead that I think for the second time this season, he had 0 punts last year.
They did play well off the bye last week.
So that's still didn't cover, though. Carolina covered that game.
Yeah, I think I hammered Carolina in that
Saints
game.
Are 1-4 against the spread their last 5.
Okay, I think it's a field goal game. I really do. And I think it's an outdoor field goal game. Look, I think Kamara's great. But I think the Bears' defense is good. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears play. Look, the one thing we know, Bridgewater moved the football effectively last week against New Orleans. You know, and I think the Bears can follow that game plan. Hopefully they pay attention to it. I think they'll move the ball a little bit.
4:25 game, too. Khalil Mack's going to show up, right? I mean, not that he doesn't all the time, but a primetime game, I mean, he's going to show up. A lot of eyes are going to be on there. Yeah, I like the Bears, too.
Here's where I was potentially leaning Saints, and it's strictly because, and I don't know if I'm paying too much attention to the weather, but with the wind, gusts, if it's potentially a ground game, the Chicago is 30th in the league in rushing, and New Orleans has the number 3 rushing defense. And then on the other side, Chicago's defense is great, but they're actually number 15 in the league against yards per rush, and New Orleans with Kamara is 16th. So, I mean, I don't know. This week is tough. This is one of those tough games. I just, after watching the Chicago Bears offense, I don't trust them enough to bet on the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Well, you picked the game. I mean, this wasn't one I would have picked. I liked a couple other ones better, but this is kind of where I was leaning. So I don't
know. Yeah, Paizan, I agree. I think what you were about to say there was Tone kind of put us in a position to make a pick on this.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I know how your guys' brains think. Think.
Yeah.
So I knew that we were going to talk about those games during the pick segment.
There's a game I like way better than that one.
You know what?
There's a bunch of games.
Since you're teasing it, let's go to the picks.
Let's go right now.
Yeah. I love Tennessee.
Look at him.
Me too. By the way, me too.
I think we're all on that one.
All right. Now here's why I love Tennessee. Three of the starting offensive linemen for the Cincinnati Bengals are out in the game.
So is Joe Mixon.
And I think Tennessee bounces back in a strong way. They don't have their left tackle. They don't have the guard. They won't have their right tackle. That was a bad line when those guys played in it. I think this is one of those games where I think Tennessee gets healthy. They'll run the ball. They'll be physical. I love Tennessee. What's the line now? What am I at?
Six and a half.
I like it.
That's fine with me, too.
I like it as well.
Yep,
me too. All right, so, hey, when the room is on a team, it's normally – maybe we don't even do any other picks. Everyone just take your money and go put it on.
It seems like that is a favor by the room. What do you like? You like that one a lot, huh?
Yeah, I like the Titans.
You got some nukes on that one?
Just that the road team has won 7 out of the last 10 in these meetings, and the Bengals are 3-8, their last 11 as a home dog. The Titans haven't been great against the spread this year.
Well, this is the big week. Yeah, this is the week they say, no more are we not going to.
What else you got, Michael?
You know, I still like Las Vegas. I think they'll run the football. They'll control it. I think this is a big game for if the Raiders want to. This is a playoff game for the Raiders. This is the kind of level of team they have to beat. And the Raiders' defense needs to show up. I think they'll control the football. This is a game that I thought should be a pick 'em, and then I'm going to get points in the Raiders. I'll take it.
Yeah, that line is at 2.5. I think it opened 2.5 and it stayed at 2.5.
That's that dogs at plus 2.5 or less. Again, it opened, Tony.
Yes, it is. It opened at 3.5 and it's down to 2.5, even though the Raiders are getting 72% of the money. What else you got, Michael?
Oh, really?
Those are my three right there. I like Vegas, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee. Okay. Those are the ones. Right. I'm thinking about, look, I don't know what to do with Denver. I'm unsure about that because of COVID. Chicago is a team I like. The San Francisco-Seattle one, I'm up in the air. The Philly line's moving like crazy, and then McCarthy said Dalton might still be able to be cleared. I'd hate to make that pick and give 10.5 or 11.
You don't think Don Finucci can do it, Mike?
Hey, what about Paizan? Don Finucci. Finucci.
No, I call Finucci. Him. What do I call? I call him Don. Yeah, Don Finucci. there's no way I can bet the Don. There's no way. I mean, even in that white clothes as he's walking down the street, I can't bet him in that.
I can see his LinkedIn page though. That guy is a fucking leader, bro.
Yeah, I look, I like the Duckster too, but
I can tell you Ben DiNucci is a whippy old kid where we grew up, so he's definitely a tough kid.
Mentally tough, okay? He's got a LinkedIn page. I seen it yesterday. The guy has critical thinking skills and leadership skills because he was on the varsity football team at James Madison.
Yeah, and shout out.
I love James Madison. That's Charles Haley School, you know, but it's James Madison and then having to go against that pass rush with no tackles. I mean, look, I think we should always bet against bad offensive lines. Just take that as
smart.
A policy. The Bengals have a bad offensive line. The Cowboys have a bad offensive line. We do that, we should be good. That's what makes me worried about Chicago. They have a bad offensive line.
Okay. Do you want Gump to go?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Come on, Gump.
I'm taking the Colts.
Ah, fuck.
I think this is a great spot. I think they're getting healthy.
Let's go.
-2.5. I think it's up to -3 now.
Yeah.
5-0 their last 5 against the spread against the NFC North. Lions 0-2 against the spread at home this year. 0-7 straight up their last 7 as home dogs. And I'm also taking the Packers.
I like the Packers here.
I like the Packers.
And the Vikings against the Packers is a shit storm.
Yep.
Vikings last 22 are 7-15 against the spread versus winning teams. 2-4 against the spread after a bye under Zimmer.
Bomb!
3-11-1 against the spread their last 15 on the road versus winning teams.
Boom.
1-4 against the spread their last 5 against Green Bay.
Bang.
And 3-8 their last 11 in Green Bay.
Boom, 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 boom.
And the Packers are 5-1 against the spread this year and 2-0 at home against the spread.
Can I give you one more bomber?
Hit me, Mike.
The last 3 games, the Vikings have only had the ball for 65 minutes in the last 3 games combined.
Michael.
So that means they don't even get the ball. And the Vikings defense this year allows 8.5 yards per attempt.
They have no secondary.
This is going to be 14-0 at the end of one.
Michael, I want to ask you a question, but do you have to go?
Oh, is that an early bet there? Oh, that sounds – you got to do another show.
Do you have to go to New England? Do you have to go to New England today?
I got to do the Boston show right after this one. I mean, it's 4 o'clock. Yeah, I got to do it.
Hey, have a great weekend.
Yeah, babe, Mike.
I was going to ask
He's late.
Hey, for us. We thank him.
Yeah, we thank him.
So I'll ask you guys. Once again, the weather, 34-mile-an-hour.
Where?
Sorry, 27-mile-an-hour winds in Green Bay, okay? Obviously, that doesn't really matter because Aaron will cut through. But if it is just, you know, a running game, Minnesota's number 5 in yards per rush. Green Bay's defense is number 20. And on the other side, Minnesota has a top 10 rushing defense.
Do not care. I trust our guy.
But no.
The guy that's on every Tuesday.
I agree. I was just throwing out information.
He can sling it in the wind.
Yeah, cut through like butter, Ty said. Ty's been watching film on him.
Yeah, yes.
In wind, by the way. Ty's watched a lot of film on him.
Colts, Packers, who else you got?
Colts, Packers, the Raiders, obviously, they're under that. Dogs plus 2.5 or less, 17-3 against the spread this year. And I'm on the Steelers, too, for all the reasons we talked about earlier. They're 4-0 against the spread their last 4 and 2-0 against the spread away. And then the Titans as well.
All right. I like what you did there, Gump, a lot.
That Saints-Bears game, I can't figure it out. I want to take it, but I can't.
You or
do
me,
it.
Bo.
Go ahead, Tone.
Okay. Tony will go.
Wait. I should go before because you. I think you do. I changed them. No, I would like to listen.
Okay. I'm going to go the Colts minus 2.5 as well.
They're at the minus 3 now. So
either way,
that's even better.
Doesn't matter.
That's even better.
Yeah, because it gets them out of that 2.5
dogs
point dog.
Plus 2.5. Oh,
for this stats one. Yeah, for
the Colts minus.
Gets them out of the fucking bomb zone. That's smart.
I just think their defense will be good enough against the Lions offense. And then on the other side of the ball, Lombardi always talks about how the Lions defense is they play man or they play zone. They're very predictable. And I think Phil Rivers is going to be fine against that off of a bye. Give me the Colts minus 3. Okay. I also like the Titans minus the 6.
We all
and
like,
a half.
We all like the
yep,
Titans.
Yep, Titans minus the 6.5.
Okay, good.
I have a feeling, and I don't know if it's just because of Monday night or whatever, and this I'm taking the Saints minus the 5.5. That may come back to get me.
You know, I liked it when it was at 3.5.
Well, yeah, that would have been much better.
I've actually looked
Michael
at
Michael Thomas is coming back.
I looked at my bet slip. I bet on both teams in that game. So
that's the type of game it is.
I try to place bets throughout the week when I'm taking a shit so I can remember them for this particular show. And now I've just realized that I bet on both teams in this particular set.
And those were my 3. And then I was like, I don't want to really do just 3. And I was like, there's probably a team that's going to score 30, and the team they're facing probably isn't going to score more than 10. So I'm going to take the Chiefs minus 19.5.
Here we go.
Listen, and I know every single bomb goes against taking a spread that big for the favorite. I know. I think it's 5-1, 4-1, 7-1, something like that.
You can go back to 1987, my friend. 3 out of 13 teams that opened at more than 20 have covered.
Yeah. That's a 33-year-old thing right
Trust
there.
Trust me, I know. But
yeah, but this Chiefs seems different.
I was just thinking Chiefs will score 30.
Jets, hey, I don't hate it.
Did the Jets score more than 10 against the Bills? No. Are the Chiefs defense better than the Bills?
Yeah.
The Chiefs should put up a 50 burger here.
All right, so those are my 4.
Thanks. I'll tell you what, I love that one.
I hate that I have 3 road dogs and all or 3 road favorites and all favorites, but here we are. Go ahead, Pat.
All right, I'm with the Titans. Obviously, we're all with that.
Okay.
I like the Bills minus 3.5 against New England at home. Just because that's a gut check game. Hey.
Yes, it is.
That is a gut check.
Check your gut.
Hey, if you want to be the team of the AFCs, which they do, okay, I think this is going to be a close game. I just think 3.5. I think 4. I think it's going to be – I just
– You think it's going to be close?
I don't love betting against Bill
Belichick.
This
is 20 years.
This is the first time I've ever done it.
20 years in the making.
But this is 20 years of pent-up frustration from an entire mafia of people who've been watching a team northeast of them just teabag their entire existence.
And it's a wounded animal that they're...
Oh, everybody's potentially getting traded. You got surgeries and people coming off. And
tweaking knees.
You got Zuber and Gunner playing wide receiver for the New England Patriots. I mean, it is... It is set up for the Bills to win by at least two scores. Okay, so I'm feeling that. I like that a lot. I like the Steelers plus 4.5 points. And I like the teaser that I put out, obviously.
Yes, you did. And that was the Steelers up to...
I want to let it be known that when I sent in the teaser, it was a different score.
Oh, yeah, because the Steelers would be 10.5 if you...
Yeah, but also... The teaser took the Packers to plus a half a point as opposed to whenever I sent it in as a minus, so I didn't cross the zero, you see.
Because people will get
so I'm a little bit worried.
If you cross it by a half point, nobody's going to care.
Okay, good. Well, I've already gotten some tweets from fucking assholes that have lost a lot more gambling bets than I have.
For sure.
But the thing about it is I like the teaser a lot. I forget exactly what it is. Let me go to it right now.
I believe it was the Raiders up.
Here it is. Raiders up to plus 8.5 against the Browns, which a lot of people like it. 2.5.
You're crossing two key numbers there, 3 and 7.
Bingo. Packers plus a half. I wanted it when it was just down to a minus half, so I only had to win by one.
3-0.
Packers just getting a half a point there. And the Steelers plus 9.5.
Beautiful.
Okay, that game's going to be very close. This feels like I'm going to win my fifth straight super boost on FanDuel.
Why not?
And why not?
Why not?
Our super boosts last month have cost FanDuel $1.5 million.
Is that good?
So let's keep it going.
Is that good?
Is that good?
Is that good?
I don't know.
$1.5 million. Is that good?
Is that good?
Somebody tell us.
Me and my team, you know what we do? We walk into a sports book and we say, hey, in about the next month or so, we're taking about fucking $1.5 million out of here. That's what we do. And that's only a $50 max bet, once a week bet that we're allowed to do.
No.
Let alone everything else that's potentially happened. I couldn't even fathom. It is awesome what's going on right now. Yeah. And we're going to make it 5 in a row. And if you bet alongside me on that super boost there in the on the FanDuel Sportsbook app there, it's in the boost section. It's the third one down. I always get bottom billing. I'm not 100% sure why.
That's because they know people will go to you. And they want to go to the
Uncle.
No, it's like it's like why grocery stores put milk and diapers in the back.
Because you gotta walk through everything. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Maybe that's the case. But anyways, you bet on that. It got boosted up to plus 230 from plus 164. I asked for plus 300, by the way. We had an entire meeting. That was when they told us the $1.5 million stat. So plus 230. Okay.
That's very good.
And if you bet on that and we win, you will screenshot the winner on Monday, and FanDuel's giving away five $1,000 FanDuel credits or whatever.
Pretty nice.
For those who bet alongside
Pretty
us.
Nice.
So, and then, by the way, if it happens again, guess what? Numbers going up even more. They're giving away. So I'm going to try to just win the rest of the way here.
Win the rest of the season.
In this teaser, I like this one a lot. So what have I told you I picked so far? Titans?
Titans, Bills, Steelers in the teaser.
It's a good card.
That's a good card.
It's a good card.
Ty, will you please come in and make your plus-minus survivor pick? It's Ty, Mitt, Pat, and Gumpy who are left. And while he's coming in, quickly, you heard the teaser lesson a little bit there. If you could go through the key numbers, which are 3.
Yeah, tell me what
7, 10, 13, 14, 17, 20. So, like, say a team's 2.5 and you could tease them up. So you're going through 3 and 7. If you get through 3 key numbers, that's awesome. Say you're teasing them down from, say, like, someone's a 9.
All right, explain what a teaser is, too.
Okay, a teaser is you could take the spread that the sports gives you, say it's 3. And you can move that number
in your favor.
In your favor by 6, 6.5, 7 points is the normal teaser spread. And you want to go through key numbers. So if it's a 2.5 point dog, you get through 3 and 7. Say it's a 9 point favorite, you get to come through 7 down to 3. Because and why 3 and 7 and 10 are the key numbers, things like that, is because for years and years and years, NFL football games have normally been decided by 3 and 7 points, mostly because that's what field goals and touchdowns are worth.
Exactly. And also, you have to hit more than one, obviously.
Correct.
So it's not a single game tease. You have to hit, like, for instance, this is a 3-game tease. I wanted it to be a 4-team tease, adding in the Giants on Monday night. Well, I would add in the Buccaneers, actually, over the Giants on Monday night. But we took it out because of potential COVID, and it's on Monday night.
Correct.
So it's actually only a 3-team teaser. But you have to hit all 3, obviously, just like a parlay for any of it.
Yes, 2 or more. 2 or more. Teams for that.
It's the best, by the way.
Nice.
It is the best. Everybody tell me I'm just teasing myself or whatever. I've had a lot of success with it, and I'm a big
fan. The Packers is a good one this week because it's at 6 and you get down through a key number of 3 And then also a key number of zero for them just to win the game.
Bingo.
Hope that makes sense.
Bingo. And if they tie, by the way, on this particular teaser, we win.
Titans is also seven, down through seven, down through three, and then you get them at one. It's basically just to win the game. Also a good teaser number this week.
All right.
Let's do the plus.
Did you hear what somebody was talking about, the Packers run defense and everything like that with the Vikings running?
He knows.
Did you hear that, Ty?
He knows.
What are you going to do? I mean.
The guy knows. He's a pretty well-aware fan. He's talked about it.
Tony, piss off, pal.
Okay. Who's your
What is
hey, what's this guy's deal, dude?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good question. What is the Chiefs, the Jets Chiefs line currently?
19.5.
Oh. 18.5. Hey, that's not a lot of points.
I might go the other way.
Oh.
I might go the other way.
You would have the balls on you.
To bet on the Jets in the plus minus survivor pool. That'd be wild.
I kind of like it, but give me Bears plus 6.5.
Okay.
You hate Drew Brees.
Let's go.
Yeah, I think this week he's going to fucking stink.
Mitt, you got one back there, buddy?
So angry.
Someone turn on Mitt's mic, please.
Mitt. Yeah, I'm going to take the Steelers, and then do I get him at 5.5?
You do.
All right, let's go. I'm taking that.
That'd be Mitt.
Bad boy, Mitt.
All right, table.
Go ahead, Gump.
Hey. Aaron Rodgers, baby.
Oh, man, hold on a second.
So you get him at 5.5.
I haven't even really thought correct? Of this here.
No, you get him at 5 right now.
Oh. Beautiful.
Okay, hold on. Let me fucking go through here. I don't know, dude. All right, I would like the Las Vegas.
So you could get them at 3.5. You could get your Bills at minus.
That's
2.5.
What I was like. Yeah, I think I'm gonna go Bills minus 2.5. That feels like the right move. Let Bill Belichick take out my. Gambling record and my plus or minus survivor rate, which I said I would never bet against, and here I am on two. But it just feels like this is the build. They have to win.
They have to.
Everything I believe
at home.
In the way that I believe in betting, you bet on the. This is a game where the humans have to win. Like, the humans have to win.
They're never
going to
have a better chance.
Ever. And this is a statement to everybody in.
It's a statement.
Upstate New York.
It's a statement.
It is a statement game, isn't it?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, it is. And by the way, they lose it. You can't just bury the ball. No. You can't just move on. You have to face Bills Mafia, who's loaded with dildos in the back pocket, ketchup, mustard, RVs, tables. You got to look them in the eye and say, it's another 20 years of fucking suck coming, pal. You can't do that.
That's not going to be enjoyable.
No, that's why the Bills win by 2 scores this week.
MVP Josh, baby.
Oh, fuck. I forgot he's the quarterback. Yeah, he's going to crush it this weekend.
Yeah, but hey, he's got that ball that fucking slices through the wind.
Yeah, he does. He throws it hard for sure.
Cam, but potentially not so much.
Yeah, but Josh can run.
He can.
And I think that will be a determining factor in this particular game.
Hey, I enjoyed this one.
It's a good one.
It's a good show.
Enjoy this.
Sorry I was a little late there. I was taking shit. I had some sushi.
It happens.
You know, after my show, before this show.
Did Zito order? Because he likes to order gas station sushi.
Well, yeah, I don't mind gas station sushi either. That turns out. I think the tuna, though, that I got was a little extra spicy the day. I think it could have been expired, potentially. And it feels like.
Well, it has come a long way from the coast to here.
Well, and just think about this. Like, before the show, I also had some sushi. Like, so I was finishing.
Oh, you had double sushi.
Well, I finished the meal on the other side. Before the show, I thought it was avocado on my one spicy tuna roll. And it was sauce. Not. That was 100% wasabi. And that fucking got me in the middle of the show. I almost died. You saw it, Gumpy. You got any nukes on that? How many hosts have died in the middle of a show?
I can tell you.
They thought wasabi was avocado.
I can tell you why your stomach had a little issue. You had pre and post show sushi.
Yeah.
So the pre show sushi was dead inside your stomach, and when the new sushi gets in there, it tries to revive its friend. So there was a little bit of a situation going on there.
It's like Call of Duty when you crawl over to your dead sack of body friend and you hit them with that thing and it just, they come back or whatever.
Yep.
That's what the sushi's doing in my gut right now.
Yeah.
Probably a super spicy tuna if I had to guess. And I wouldn't put it past that fucking wasabi prick that was dressed up like avocado because it's some more hell down there as well. Anyways, I was in there handling that. So I appreciate the show being awesome from beginning to end. I was watching the beginning of it.
Nice.
While I was battling the fish.
I think we covered everything.
Atletico Madrid.
Oh, fuck.
-130 tomorrow over Osasuna. They beat them 9 out of 10.
I went 7-2 in college last week. I will tweet out my plays tomorrow. It's not a big deal.
I'm on game day tomorrow, giving out three picks, I think.
You're always above 500.
Always.
I put notes for every college football game I took because I don't want to hear it this weekend.
All right.
What do you mean you don't want to hear?
I went 6-7 last week in college football.
And, oh, you suck at college football.
Yeah, terrible.
What was that soccer one you said again?
Atletico Madrid.
And they're playing against Osasuna?
Osasuna, Spanish La Liga.
Antoine Griezmann, my friend.
He's on Barcelona now.
Now on Barcelona.
Hey, shout out to Crystal Palace making his money last week, dude. I made a lot of money off of that.
Zaha.
CP?
Huh?
CP.
Yeah. Is that what we call him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dog walked him.
Yeah, I want to let you know. I'm an FC...
excited to hear this.
Ted Lasso. Fucking A. I can't believe
it. Isn't he with Chelsea?
No.
Is he with Man City?
Richmond? No.
Oh, he's not with A.
I forget what his team name is. Oh, no, I can't believe I did this. I'm one of their biggest fans. Anyways, that's my squad, dude.
Good squad.
Can't thank you guys enough for listening. Hammer down on Instagram and Twitter. You can send us all your picks to be featured on there.
Merch coming soon.
Yep, we're still working on that. Still getting that fucking...
Hey, we are making those right now, aren't we?
Yeah, Jay did some great work.
Hi, babe, Jay.
Jay did some great work.
Is that the right thing there?
Yep.
AFC Richmond.
Good squad.
Wow, I was very close. Oh, shout out to me.
Australian Football Club Richmond?
I'm not sure what it is. I do know that the naming rights to that team came from the ex-husband of the current owner.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, if you watch the show, it's actually kind of a sad story. So,
all right.
Ted Lasso was the only coach that could bring that team together in the situation they were in. And I think if you watch the show, it's very evident. Did you watch Ted Lasso?
Not yet.
Oh, fucking.
I'm waiting for air.
This guy, by the way, hammered against.
No.
I did. Julio Jones. You remember that? Did you hear about this? He made.
He's seen it.
Yeah. People know, dude.
Everybody knows.
People know, Tom.
Pat.
You know what? I don't think I'll bet a Falcons game the rest of the year.
Yeah, you were the only one that... No,
whether with them or against them, it just blows up in my face.
All right. Good luck. We'll see you on Monday.
Next 1 o'clock game for Atlanta. Bet against Atlanta.
Good call. I think they have all 1 o'clock games except for 4:25 because when you were talking about last primetime game of the year for them yesterday, I was like, yeah, it kind of is.
Do they play a 4:25 game?
They do play one 4:25 game.
Can that get flexed out or no? Only the 7 o'clock ones.
I believe they can do some flexing.
But if it's against Tom or something, I guess... They'll keep it.
Have they played the Bucs yet this year?
It's against Chargers.
I think they still have two against the Bucs.
The Chargers.
Yeah, that'll get flexed out, right?
They got two against the Saints and two against the Bucs. All right. Good luck. Can't thank you enough. As always, if you couldn't catch us on YouTube, do your best to catch us on YouTube, but we put it out as a podcast. Tell your friends if they like making money because we've been doing a bunch of that. Hammer!
Done!